In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins to God, our Father, and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord.
Thank you. pray. Heavenly Father, in the midst of our sufferings for the sake of Christ, grant us grace to follow the example of the first martyr, Stephen, that we also may look to the one who suffered and was crucified on our behalf and pray for those who do us wrong. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The first reading for the feast of Saint Stephen, martyr, is from the book of Chronicles, the 24th chapter. Now after the death of Jehoiada the priest, the princes of Judah came and paid homage to the king, and the king listened to them. And they abandoned the house of the Lord, the God of their fathers, and served the Asherim and the idols. The wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this guilt of theirs. Yet he set prophets among them to bring them back to the Lord. These testified against them, but they would not pay attention. Then the Spirit of God clothed Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada the priest, and he stood above the people and said to them, "Thus says the Lord, why do you break the commandments of the Lord so that you cannot prosper? Because you have forsaken the Lord, he has forsaken you." But they conspired against him. And by the command of the king, they stoned him with stones in the court of the house of the Lord. Thus Joash the king did not remember the kindness that Jehoiada, Zechariah's father, had shown him, but killed his son. And when he was dying, he said, "May the Lord see and avenge." This is the word of the Lord. Your righteousness is righteous forever.
And your law is true.
Righteous are you, O Lord.
And right are your just decrees.
You have appointed your testimonies in righteousness.
And in all faithfulness.
My zeal consumes me.
Because my foes forget your words.
Your promise is well tried.
And your servant loves it.
I am small and despised.
Yet I do not forget your precepts.
Your righteousness is righteous forever.
And your law is true.
Trouble and anguish have found me out.
But your commandments are my delight.
Your testimonies are righteous forever.
Give me understanding that I may live. Glory be to the Father.
Your righteousness is righteous forever.
And your law is true.
The second reading is from the book of Acts, the 6th and 7th chapters. Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. And then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, and the Cyrenians, and of the Alexandrians, and those from Sicilia and Asia rose up and disputed with Stephen. But they could not understand the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. Then they secretly instigated men who said, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God." And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him and seized him and brought him before the council. And they set up false witnesses who said, "This man never ceases to speak words against this holy place and the law, for we have heard him say that Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and will change the customs that Moses delivered to us." And gazing at him, all who sat in the council saw that his face was like the face of an angel. And the high priest said, "Are these things so?" And Stephen said, "Brothers and fathers, hear me. You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, You always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did not your fathers persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one, whom you have now betrayed and murdered, who you received the law as delivered by angels and did not keep it. Now when they heard these things, they were enraged, and they ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they cried out in a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And falling to his knees, he cried out in a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. This is the word of the Lord.
Son of God, begotten
peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text from the second reading. Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. This is our text. Well, that doesn't sound a whole lot like Christmas now, does it? And it doesn't look exactly like Christmas in here either. You might recall that on Christmas we always dress the altar and the other furniture in the church with the white paraments. But instead of Christmas white, the church is dressed in blood red. Just like it is at Pentecost, Reformation, and for the feasts of martyrs. Instead of the thrill of hope and a weary world rejoicing, we heard the thrill of wrath and a wicked world rejoicing. Instead of a babe in a manger, we have a grown man brutally stoned to death. Today, the church remembers Saint Stephen, the first person to be killed for confessing Christ, the first martyr. Why is it like this? Why do the birth of our Lord and the martyrdom of St. Stephen stand side by side in the church's calendar? These two things seem to be such opposites. What does death have to do with Christmas? Now, if we find this a bit jarring, a bit unexpected, it's worth stepping back and thinking about how jarring and unexpected our Christmas would seem to Mary and Joseph. Would Mary and Joseph even recognize themselves in the romanticized pictures of the Nativity? Would they wonder what Amazon deliveries and new bikes and evergreen trees and ham and potatoes and 24 different kinds of cookies have to do with the birth of Jesus? Those aren't bad things, of course. But perhaps we need to remember that there's more to Christmas than all of that. Perhaps we need to remember that there are things a little more earthy and gritty and challenging, even at Christmas time. Maybe it's our ideas about Christmas that need some correcting. In fact, death and Christmas are closely connected, more closely than we might realize. That newborn child wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger, that little child is himself going to suffer a terrible, brutal death. He was born to die. Not because death is good, but because death is bad. The Nativity leads to Good Friday. We see that in our own church calendar. Advent brings us to Christmas, and from Christmas we move forward toward Lent and Easter. The incarnation, God coming in the flesh, is connected to the atonement. We sang it in our very first hymn, "Nails, spear shall pierce him through, the cross be borne for me, for you." Our Lord is no stranger to suffering. Indeed, suffering is the mark of his kingship. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Some Christians risk such persecution still today. I venture to guess that there are Christians in parts of the world yesterday who gathered together at the risk of jail or perhaps even death. For others like us, we have less to fear from celebrating Christmas, but the cross is still part of our daily lives. The cross of trials in this fallen world and the cross of our own sin. We often want our lives to be like our Christmas packages, perfectly chosen, carefully wrapped, with a large and beautiful bow on top. Christmas may be like that, but life isn't. Life can be messy. Life can be unpredictable. Things happen when you least expect them or want them to happen. I'm reminded of that every time I have a text on a Sunday morning from someone saying, "Sorry, Pastor, won't be at church. The water heater broke again." The pieces of our stories don't always fit together in neat and in tidy ways. Now, I don't think that saying this makes Christmas any less joyous. Ignoring our problems, shrugging our shoulders at our sin, pretending that everything is fine, that makes it worse, actually. After all, our problems haven't gone anywhere, not even when Christmas comes. Our sorrows haven't left. Our troubles are still waiting around the corner. The Feast of St. Stephen is here to acknowledge the realities of life in this world, and so to help us deal with the realities of our lives in this world. There's something honest about having not just a white Christmas, but a red Christmas. Instead of ignoring our suffering and struggles, we can call them what they are. We can name them. We can acknowledge them. We don't have to pretend like life is perfect. We don't have to fake it. We can deal with life that is real. We can look at the baby in the manger and we can see that this baby is the eternal Son of God, come to die a terrible and bloody death. We can see that the human flesh received from Mary is the same flesh that hung upon the cross. Do you think that kills or ruins the joy of Christmas? I don't think it does. I don't think acknowledging the reality of our Lord's suffering and death ruins Christmas at all, not when we realize that he did this for you. He did this because of your suffering and because of your sin and because of your sorrow. Real suffering, real sin, and real sorrow. And he did it not as a band-aid, not as a fake, but he did it instead as a real and permanent cure. The sin and guilt that he bore, the mocking and punishment that he endured, the death that he died, it was yours. None of that belonged to him. It was yours. But he made it his to set you free. So that even though you struggle now, those struggles won't conquer you. Even though you suffer and you sorrow now, those sufferings and those sorrows won't have the last word. Even though you are a sinner now, not happily a sinner, I hope, but still a sinner, your sin won't stay with you for eternity. This is why he came, to give us hope, to give us life, and to give us forgiveness, not just to give us a pretty Christmas, and to pay for all of it, not on credit, but in his blood shed for you. This is what St. Stephen saw. We don't know when it happened. We don't know that he died on the day after Christmas. But we do know that he was martyred for being a Christian. St. Stephen saw this same Lord. The people who were around him, they couldn't stand to hear what he said. They wanted to bury their rebellion. They wanted to ignore their sin. So they plugged their ears. And rather than enduring the truth and repenting, they hurled stones at him to kill him. But St. Stephen saw Jesus. He says that he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God the Father. What does that mean? It means that he saw Christmas and Good Friday and Easter all at the same time. He saw the flesh and blood of the baby born in Bethlehem. He saw in that flesh the nail holes and where the spear pierced his side on Good Friday. And he saw that flesh once dead, but alive again. And not just alive, but on the throne of God, reigning as king. Reigning as the king who died to forgive all sins. To forgive the sins of Stephen, as well as the sins of those who stoned him. And to forgive your sins and mine as well. Reigning as the king who has suffering as the mark of his kingship, reigning as the king who was now going to call Stephen home to his kingdom. This is the Stephen celebration of Christmas. Not perfect packages with big bows, but to be born again into God's heavenly kingdom. And that's exactly what happened to Stephen. The early church considered the day of martyrdom for the martyrs to be the day of their heavenly birthday. And so it was for Stephen. Falling asleep in death, he woke up to something more wonderful than we have here. Like Mary and Joseph, like the shepherds, like the wise men, that day Stephen got to see and touch the flesh and blood of Jesus, his Savior. Like Mary and Joseph, like the shepherds and the wise men, that day Stephen was filled with joy and with peace. Even while the stones were being hurled at him, even as his life was being taken from him. You heard what he said. Lord, receive my spirit. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. So it is for you and me as well. No matter what the sufferings and struggles and trials that we may have this Christmas, still, we get a Christmas like Stephen's. I don't mean a Christmas with more suffering, but rather a Christmas where we get to touch and taste the body and blood of the Savior as he comes to us here in a manger of bread and wine. A Christmas where we are enabled to commend ourselves into our Father's hands, no matter what we may be going through. A Christmas when we can plead by the blood of Christ for the forgiveness of those who hate us and persecute us. Our Lord gives himself to us this day, and so he brings to us the true joy and peace of his forgiveness and eternal life. This is a joy and a peace that can withstand the assaults of Satan, a joy and a peace that can endure every suffering of this world, a joy and a peace that can stand even when we meet the persecution promised by Jesus. Such things may make our Christmases way different than what we normally expect, but Christmas remains Christmas because of Christ and nothing else. In fact, it's sometimes the hard Christmases that make us appreciate Christmas even more, that make Christmas even better. Sometimes the hard and challenging Christmases where we grasp more clearly exactly what Christmas means. Not simply pretty packages with bows, but a Savior born for you. I would venture to guess that those who are persecuted and suffer for the faith, that they know something about Christmas that we don't. And they have a joy beyond what we have. We know that when such sufferings and persecution comes, it's not because our Lord loves that we suffer, but it's because Satan hates Jesus, and so he hates us. But what Satan doesn't know is that in his rage, he can never destroy Christmas, and he can never take our Christ from us. But suffering is the mark of our Lord's kingship. So if you find yourself suffering this Christmas, if you find yourself sorrowing, if you find trials in your life, do not despair, but cling rather to him. And look to the blood of Jesus, the red blood that washes away the stain of our sin, that rescues us from death and the devil, and that gives eternal salvation to all who believe, including Stephen. That's the red that makes Christmas what it is. Even on St. Stephen's Day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
I will offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I bow to you.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Preserve your church, O Lord, and her ministers. Let your word be treasured and your commandments honored, that your church and her congregations may prosper. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Your will is for the good of your people, and you gather your children as a hen gathers her brood under her wings. Preserve our families, especially the children of Christian parents, that they may grow in the knowledge of you and of Christ Jesus. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Behold, O Lord, the princes and rulers of this world. Do not let those who serve you abandon your house. Turn the hearts of those who serve false idols to heed your truth. Give peace in our time, that the confession of the incarnate Savior may have free course. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O giver of all that is good, grant your healing and support to all who are in sorrow or need, sickness or adversity, especially Gail Clayton, Bruce Bennett, Keith Boudreau, Ron Boudreau, Nancy McTighe, as well as those needing our ongoing prayers, Al and Bernie, Bradley, Dan and Patty, Donna, Frank, Gwen, Jack, Maurice, Michelle, Paula, Rick and Therese, and for all who are home, quarantining, recovering, or ill. Give them also the gift of your grace to accept and bear their crosses with faith in you, that finally they would be prepared to depart this life and receive the gift of eternal life in your kingdom. Lord, in your mercy. As you, O Lord, comforted the first Christians at the death of St. Stephen, so comfort all who mourn, especially Kate and Ed Schaefer, Rose Meyer, Raul Frederic and his family, and the family of Terry Honkala and all of the other friends, and all whose grief is persistent. Help them commend themselves and their loved ones into your hands, Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, look with mercy on those in every stage and situation in life, but especially look upon our homebound Anita Boudreau, Karen Hamill, Janet Lipke, Rick Silvestro, and Andrea Wetmore, and upon all expectant mothers, including Kaylee Phelps and Stephanie Miller. Lord, in your mercy. Holy God, your Son stands at the right hand of your majesty, powerful to be present and active with his church, scattered throughout the world. Give your blessing to all who receive his true body and blood in the sacrament, that in this communion we may receive his pardon. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for your servant Saint Stephen, whom your Son has received into his glory at the right hand. May we, your people, imitate him in faith and love, to speak your truth with boldness, to forgive those who sin against us, as Christ forgave his persecutors from the cross, and to fall asleep in him. When our last hour comes, let us be born into eternal life and receive the crown of life for the sake of him who was born into our flesh to redeem it, even Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. In the communion of all your saints gathered into the one body of your Son, you have surrounded us with so great a cloud of witnesses that we, encouraged by their faith, and strengthened by their fellowship, may run with perseverance the race that is set before us, and together with them receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Therefore, with angels and archangels, with Saint Stephen and all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
To the Lord, for he is good. Pray with me. O God, the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.